The Toolbox Show on Fix Radio with Andy Stevens. Brought to you by the Federation of Master Builders.
Good afternoon. Has it only been a week since the last Toolbox Show? Crikey, seems like ages ago. Now, have you seen the bricky who didn't get paid? It's been in all the press this week. What he did to the development he was working on, I'll tell you what, I'm not going to tell you now. I'll tell you later on in the show. You will never guess, unless you've obviously read the papers. But let's put it this way, he wasn't a happy bunny. Now, I've got to tell you, loads has happened on the jobs we're on. Some of them good, some of them bad, some of them pretty embarrassing. Firstly, we were removing a ground floor shower enclosure yesterday after the screen came off. There was a couple of ants. As the tiles came off, there were more and more and more. And I've never, ever seen anything like it. The entire room was moving with millions of them. It was heaving, lumps of them falling off the walls, all over your feet. It looked like something out of Arachnophobia, but with ants. Anyway, we filled up the Hoover bag. That's now in the skip. The other job on Monday morning, listen to this. Monday morning, there were six of us working away. The subject we were talking about was it's a fairly strong sexual nature, as you do. All male crew, so we're having a bit of a giggle. We actually thought the customer wasn't there, so we didn't hold back. Having a right old giggle about it. And then she walked in and just said, very calmly, I didn't know you all knew so much about a woman's body. Very interesting to hear your views. Silence. Literally, you could hear a pin drop. Everyone straight back to what they were doing, leaving me facing the customer with an exceptionally red face. Still getting wound up about that on Wednesday today. Anyway, what else happened? Yeah, my van went in yesterday for its service and a bit of work to the dealership. And guess what I got, bearing in mind I need a van for work? A Renault Twingo. For those that aren't sure of this vehicle, it makes a smart car look like an estate. It's tiny. It kind of resembles a large trainer with wheels. And got to be honest, everyone said I look like Hightower from Police Academy. Head was popping out the top, sitting in the back to drive it. And just to sum it up, I couldn't even get my skill saw in the boot because it was too big. So, Esalt, who is in charge down there, and your team, please can you get my van done, because I can't get anything in your little car. And I need my van back. But thanks for working on it. I know you're all flat out. Have you uncovered anything nasty on any jobs you're on? Had any funny stories about your van? Anything like that? Get in touch here. Text number's 81400. Start the message with Fix or email studio@fixradio.co.uk or give us a quick call. Number here, 0330 380 3500. Fix Radio. Andy Stevens, this is The Toolbox. My guest this week is unfortunately tied up. We couldn't get hold of him. He was going to be discussing the issue we've got with van and tool theft. Obviously, hope his phone has not been nicked because it is going straight to voicemail. But what I thought I'd do, as we mention often on this show, it's apprentices are the future of our industry. Without them, we won't have an industry. As we've said before, we're working with CITB, but I thought it'd be a good opportunity to speak to someone that recently, well, a couple of years ago, qualified, set her own company up, doing unbelievably well, and not just that, somehow she's finding the time to do all this charity work for Band of Builders, DOI, SOS, I mean, the list goes on. So on the line, we've got Jen. Good afternoon, Jen.
Good afternoon, Andy. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
Well, taken my first day off in like forever and don't feel so well today.
So you've got the lurgy.
Yeah.
Now, thank you ever so much for coming on. We obviously met, when was it? A couple of years ago, 18 months was it? Sadie's project. You've done a
project,
lot of work.
Yeah, back in February.
Was it only February? Cool.
Yeah.
Now, I met you then and instantly I thought, you know, you had a couple of years, didn't you, at college, and then went straight up and set up on your own. Can you tell us a little bit about what made you get into this? And, well, rather than sort of doing the easy option of working for a firm, you just went straight into it as being self-employed.
Yeah, I actually, years ago, I went to uni and wanted to do interior design. Unfortunately, I had my children quite young, and when I got onto a three-year degree, it was just too much. To cope with children of one and two and a three-year degree. So I kind of left it at that and spent my time raising the children. Then, obviously, a few years ago, I decided I'd go back to college and see what I could do. I actually went to do AutoCAD because I wanted to get into an architect's as an apprentice. And when I went to start AutoCAD, I turned up at college and they discontinued the course because there wasn't enough interest in it.
Oh, joking.
So I was like, okay, so what have you got? And they've got, well, we've got P&D. So I said, okay then. They'd already started, it was November, so they'd already started from September, but I spoke to the tutor, he saw that I was enthusiastic and just started me in it straight away. I caught up with everyone quite quickly and ended up getting distinctions and everything and coming out quite high in the class, actually, from year one and year two. I also took part in skill build for the college in my level one, and I won that region as well for a level one. And then I used to go to work weekends with my tutor and get some hands-on experience from him, really. And then as soon as I left college, I just thought, you know what, I'll just set up on my own.
You set up on your own. Yeah. So, you know, in relative speaking, you've been doing it for, not a massive amount of time, but a few years. I've seen your work. It's incredible. What do you put that down to? Do you think that was the apprenticeship taught you art? I mean, I guess working with the tutor at the weekends, I think that's invaluable, learning literally first-hand experience on the tools. But also you got that interest because you wanted to do interior design.
Yeah, I mean, he was quite happy to just leave me, to drop me off at jobs and leave me there and I'd just get on with it. So he obviously put a lot of trust in me that I'd do a good job. And, I was working on million-pound houses and things. So I knew from then, I was like, I don't think I need to work for anybody, really. I'm sure I can take this on myself. And being that I'm female, a little bit of a niche in the market there, I think. So although there are many, many female decorators out there now, but I thought, why not?
And you're doing exceptionally well. Anyone can say that. As I say, I've obviously met you, seen your work. It is really high standard. But you entered the regional award, the London region, for the Screwfix top tradesperson. 3,000 entries, and you got through to the final 54.
Yeah, it was. It wasn't just for London. It was the whole of the UK. So it was Scotland and that as well. And yeah, I got a phone call to say I'd got through to the regional finals down in London, where there was four of us there. There was around four in each final. Unfortunately, didn't make it through, but still being one of 54 finalists out of 3,000, quite a
an incredible achievement.
Yeah, especially as I haven't even been running the business 2 years yet. It'll be 2 years in September, so.
So the standard of work's great. You're booked up. You got through to the final 54 out of 3,000. You've got two young kids, or growing kids. Now, how do you find the time for all this charity work you do? Because you don't just do one or two. You've done Band of Builders. You've done two DIY SOS. There's three other December projects coming up. Two in Hearts. I mean, could you tell us all a little bit about that and how do you find the time?
I think I've always found time to help others. That's just the kind of person I am. I think I always put others before myself. And if anyone needs anything, I'll always put their needs before mine. And if I see people struggling, like we did a couple of local ones for a little girl with spina bifida and her family. And we decorated and practically the whole house. I pulled in, a few people dropped out, so I had to pull in a little bit of help to help me on it, because I was kind of left on a full house to do myself. And we had some people doing the garden for her so she could access it with her wheelchair and things. We did another one for a little boy local in Letchworth, Alfie, who was born with adult brain cancer the size of an orange. And he's still battling it now. 7-8 years on, and a friend of mine, Cliff, who's in Band of Builders, he made him a bed that has actually prolonged his treatment, because if he can lay still. And then I decorated the rest of the bedroom, and then they did the garden and things like that. I think if ever there's a little break in my work, I'm more than happy to help other people on anything.
Well, it's incredible to hear, Jane. I've got to ask, you have become booked up in a short space of time, incredibly high standard of work. We've been through all the work you do for charities, the fine, getting down to the final 54 in Screwfix. What are your long-term aims? Are you sort of looking to expand, take people on? Or, to be fair, from what I've heard from a lot of people, are happy carrying on as they are. There's a lot less stress than trying to run a big company.
Yeah, I really don't think we've having two teenagers as well at the moment, one of them homeschooled. I think the stress of a big company isn't for me, but I am definitely looking to take on a couple more. But because I want to keep it female only, it's quite difficult to find, you know, another young lady or in the trade that's good. You know, I possibly could train my daughter up maybe one day if she shows an interest in it.
Why not?
But for the time being, I'm happy just prodding along on my own. But definitely the long-term goal would be to have, to build up a woman-only business and have a few working under me, yeah.
Well, Jen, thanks ever so much for your time. I'll let you get back to your Lemsip and whatever else you're guzzling down. I'm sure, knowing you, you'll be straight back to work soon. And
this is because I worked in the rain. I was painting damp-proof membrane in the pouring rain.
Oh,
I got
dear.
Soaked through.
Well, I think you deserve a couple of days in bed. You do a hell of a lot for other people. You're a great trade, and no doubt we will see you on one of the Bob projects soon.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you, Andy.
All the best. Cheers, Jen.
Cheers.
The Toolbox Show on Fix Radio, brought to you by the Federation of Master Builders.
I'm Andy Stevens. This is The Toolbox Show. Thanks again to Jen Gardner of Jen Gardner Interiors. Absolutely flew through college, couple of years. She's one of the best decorators around, and she is flying. Great to hear. Now, as I mentioned earlier on in the show, a bricklayer was knocked this week. Basically wasn't paid. He was working for a developer. He was one of the main bricklayers, and he kept going on and on about his payment. As I've touched upon before on this show, it can be 30 days, 60 days, 90 days. It went on and on. He was working in Hertfordshire on a retirement project, retirement houses, and basically got told he wasn't getting paid. So, as I said, have a guess. If you've all had a chat around your cup of tea, what do you reckon he did? Well, I've got to tell you, it wasn't just a small thing. For those that haven't read it, he got in a digger, and it's not just a small bobcat. We're talking a proper-sized digger here, and drove through five houses, just about to be finished. And when I say drove through them, it wasn't just a tap on the window. He just went straight through them. He had the dinger arms swinging. He was just powering through, walls coming down, roof slipping, windows popping, you name it. Very calm from what the reports say. Got arrested and just calmly said, I know what I'm doing. I won't resist arrest. Now, we've touched upon it many times on the show, on the Toolbox. We, as small companies, individual tradesmen, self-employed, we do get knocked. We don't get paid. And I think this highlights the fact that, in my eyes, the options for a small company or someone that's self-employed for legal help basically isn't there. If you don't get paid, you've got pretty much, well, really two options. You try and do something yourself through emails and letters, often they get ignored, or you try the small claims court. And as we know, the small claims court, it isn't great. It's a lot of stress. We aren't lawyers, we aren't legal experts, we're tradesmen. And I think something really needs to be done with this. Again, like anything, it will take time. And the sad thing is, a lot of companies have gone bust. You just can't afford to keep going. You've not been paid on a couple of jobs. You've had to shut the company down. Some brilliant firms all across the country have been through difficulties. And it doesn't just affect you if you're a limited company. Obviously, you then want to apply for a mortgage, you can't get a mortgage. So there's a lot of knock-on effects. There's very little help. But what I would like is, if you have been knocked, if it was just a few hundred quid or worst case, even a few grand, we'd love to hear what you've done in terms of getting your own back. As I say, most people try and sort it out amicably, but you do read the odd story, don't you, like this. Daniel, his name was, 31-year-old bricklayer on a retirement village in Hertfordshire. Be interesting to see, though, what he gets charged with and if it actually goes all the way. I mean, the damage was... Let's have a look. The damage was being, yeah, it's estimated at £4 million worth of damage. Three out of the five houses were weeks from being finished. The money had changed hands. Elderly couples were looking to move in. I've just seen a picture of the damage he caused, and they won't be moving in 2 weeks, let's put it that way. In fact, there are rumours that they've got to be knocked down and possibly rebuilt. So, yeah, that's taken it slightly to the extreme. But do get in touch. It'd be great to hear from you. As I say, you know, let's hear the good stories. Did you go in and sit down with the customer? Did you try and sort of say, look, you know, the work's been done. It's all been agreed. And then, you know, have a nice sort of shake of the hands and off you go. Or did you maybe have a sort of cheeky wait a few years, karma, etc.? I did know one story, quickly got to say it, won't mention names, a great, great company that I get my skips from. And simple thing was, he wasn't getting paid for his skip. It was a private job. It wasn't through a trade. So he had no relationship with him. The skip company said, we're not going to pick it up. We can't until you pay us. They refused. So this went on weeks and weeks, got into a couple of months. So he just picked up this skip, which was now full of rainwater, plaster, plasterboard, old bits of timber, soil, all the usual rubbish you get in a skip, old bits of silicon flying around. He picked it up and dumped it on his brand new block paved drive, and just smiled and drove away with an empty skip. And that was the end of that. So, yeah, love to hear from you. Give us a buzz. Phone line's all up and running. We've had Jen on this morning. The number here is 0330 380 3500. Now, sorry, the other one is getting in touch. Obviously, drop us a text. Appreciate sometimes you can't call if you're on a site. Get in touch on the text 81400. Start the message with Fix. Now, next up, I will be chatting with our Apprentice of the Week, with CITB. Now, have a good listen to this. If you are an apprentice or you know one, or you want to be considered yourself for the Apprentice of the Week award, this will be for next week, get in touch by texting 81400, starting the message with Fix, and if you're successful, you'll get a massive van full of bacon sarnies.
The Toolbox Show on Fix Radio, brought to you by the Federation of Master Builders.
This is Fix Radio, and you're listening to The Toolbox Show with Andy Stevens. Like I often say on this show, a good apprentice is worth their weight in gold. That's why here at Fix Radio, we've teamed up with the CITB, the Construction Industry Training Board, to reward hardworking apprentices by giving them the Apprentice of the Week award. This week, we're talking to Abby. Hi, Abby.
Hello.
Hi. Firstly, what's your trade and where are you based?
Well, I'm a motor vehicle apprentice and I work in Lambeth, which is southeast London.
And I've got to ask, what made you get into it? Was it something you've always wanted to do? Did your old man or friends do it?
Well, I know I've always been a bit of a different child. I wasn't really into the same things my friends was when I was little. And I just always liked cars, and finding out how they worked is quite an intriguing sort of factor to start off with, and I sort of just grown from there, really.
Well, that's good for you. So you've always wanted to do it, you followed your dream. Where do you see yourself in 10 years? Are you going to be running your own firm? You're going to be a multi-millionaire? Were you just happy to let everyone else deal with the stress and just crack on with your job?
I believe I want to own my own garage. That's the sort of long-term prospect for me, and just sort of enjoy what I do and continue with it as long as I can.
Brilliant. And how has being an apprentice helped you? Obviously, you've been sort of learning the tricks of the trade, learning, getting experience. What are the main things that you've gained from it?
An apprenticeship is, I think, it's like sort of the best way to start, really, because you get like the day off, obviously, when you go to college. So that's sort of theory based. And then the other 4 days when you come to work, it's sort of hands on. It's not, where you're an apprentice, most places wouldn't really trust you to do a lot of things, but when you're an apprentice, that's what it's all about, if you know what I mean. So it's like little baby steps. Every day I'm learning something new. Every day I'm a little bit more trusted to do something bigger and better. And I think that just makes people, it gains my confidence as well. Like, it makes me believe in myself a lot more when I'm trusted to do things by myself.
And I can tell in your voice you're really enjoying it, aren't you?
Yes, I love it.
Brilliant. Well, Abby, thanks ever so much. On behalf of Fix Radio and CITB, you are our Apprentice of the Week, and we'd like to thank you for this by delivering you a bucket load of bacon sandwiches. How do you feel about that?
Oh, that's fabulous. I'm trying to watch my figure at the moment, though, so maybe not a bucket load.
All right. Well, to be honest, it will be a van load, so if you eat them all, just treat yourself. You are our Apprentice of the Week. Thanks ever so much. And that was in conjunction with CITB and Fix Radio.
Fix Radio. Let the rant begin.
Architects and structural engineers. Yeah, I know I had a rant about them a few weeks ago, but I had to go back to them today. I looked at this job last week and what I saw was simply horrendous. Right, let me explain the job. Old pre-Victorian house with two large side extensions, which you all need knocking through to open up the house into a livable space for a family of five. The first thing I noticed was they have asked to put a huge steel, you know what they're like these days, over-spec it, taking the entire load from the first floor and roof onto an existing wall. Now, I do love a good old tap on the walls, and this one moved fairly significantly. It's only 4 inch, so I reckon it's the good old clinker box. And matey wants me to put a whacking great steel on top of this to take the entire house. Right, yeah, okay. So his drawings basically say, get the builder to check this. Oh yeah, that's fair on the customer me, isn't it? All the drawings then have all the floor joist directions as guesses. Yeah, again, it's down to the builder to confirm these. Footings, builder to confirm. So on an old Victorian house, we all know the footings weren't exactly deep. One old lean-to I pulled down a few years, the footing was one old stock brick sat on soil. And the thing is, this thing had never moved and it wasn't far from a railway line, so puts to bed all these deep footings we need these days. So anyway, just because he can't be asked to actually investigate these things, he thinks it's totally acceptable to pass the buck on to the builder. With the joist direction not known, the footings depth not known, the wall structure not known, does he seriously think we're going to just crack on with the job? I've worked out that it could cost the customer another 25 grand in additional works if this is proven to be wrong. Like he's going to be happy with this. Now, I could easily have taken the drawings and structural calcs and just sent the customer a price. But like all good builds, you look a bit further than this. This architect, he's taking the Michael big time. They overspec the steels to cover their arse to the point they're just ridiculously oversized. But they can't be bothered to even have a look at the wall structure. They want us to plonk a large steel on, or even suggest to the client a test hole needs to be dug to see the depth of the footings. This would prevent any potential problems and awkward conversations with a customer about unforeseens, especially to the tune of 25 big ones. This is absolutely ridiculous. Why should us builders take all of this grief? Why should it always be down to us? Architects, structural engineers, well, you would hope they're intelligent, qualified people, so why don't you use your brain? If your computer doesn't say anything, think. Use your brain. That's that thing between your ears. That's the thing that got you your degree. The thing that set your company up for you. Use it. Otherwise, we're going to have that awkward conversation with the customer about all this extra work because you didn't know which way the ceiling joists run, depth of footings. You've got no idea that the old wobbly wall was more than likely clinker box with a good old whack it's going to come down. Bottom line is, it isn't going to support this big steel you want to sit on it to take the first floor and roof. You can't copy and paste this from another job, can you? And while I'm on this subject, do you know which end of a handsaw to hold? You ever used an impact driver? Ever laid a brick? No. Right, so this is it. Architects and engineers, learn how to do your job properly or don't bother. These drawings you're giving us are basically useless. My four-year-old could do a better job. In fact, he does, on his Etch-a-Sketch. Maybe come to one of my jobs, have a look at the mess you leave us in, and then you can learn from all the skilled tradesmen's working. Or do us all a favour and go and live on Mars, you inept, divvy, useless cockwombles.
Andy Stevens on Fix Radio. The Toolbox Show on Fix Radio. Brought to you by the Federation of Master Builders.
Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, Fix Radio. It's all dear, Dan. 7 minutes to, mate. We haven't got long left. How are you?
Yeah, not bad. Thanks, you're right, mate.
Yeah, good. Got any holidays booked? Must be due one by now. It's been, what, fortnight?
No, I'd quite like one, though.
We should go away.
That's lads holiday.
Odd, well, lads holiday.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
Right, we'll get on to Thomas Cook or whatever in a minute. Now we've had a few people get in touch. Another one's just dropped in.
Oh yeah, okay. So we just got a text from John saying, "You're gonna love this, Andy. Working up in this loft still, just one for the structural engineer." Just had a visit by the building control. Can't believe what we've been made to do. He wants justification of everything. The engineer said the bit of old 4x2 over a door lining is plenty to support the new floor joint. joists and the steel. Building control can't believe it. I feel a war is coming.
Well, this is the problem. You end up stuck right in the middle. Who do you listen to? Engineer? Building inspector? John, I'm with you. Yeah, we did loft conversion a few years ago, and these things that were craned in, huge great steels, and rather than run the short span, they had to go the long span. So these things were like 7 metres long, totally over-specced, 4x4 timber post, either side of a door lining. Don't know what's wrong with 4x2. So, John, I'm with you. Yeah, just call it a day, mate, I think. It's these things get out of hand. But, yeah, bottom line is, as you know, mate, building inspectors are signing it off, so we've got to go with them.
Nod to Rufa. He says he always listens to the show, but at the moment he's on holiday in the Canaries sunning himself, drinking ice-cold beer. He simply says, wish you were here.
Nod is a listener. He's been in touch a couple of times over the last year or so, and he's always on holiday, the boy. We need to maybe start something like, where's Nod, as opposed to where's Wally? Canaries having a cold beer. Well, have one for Dan and I, because it's quite warm here today in London, Nod.
Paul from Southfield says he loves a good old giveaway. He basically wants some freebies, Andy.
Ooh, good news, good news. Next week, we will be announcing we're giving away a Bosch brand new 9-inch grinder. I think it retails about 130, 140 quid. So we will be coming up with all the information for that. So keep listening into next week because, could be yours, Paul.
And finally, Darren's in Putney. He asks what you think of estimating companies.
Ooh, good question. Up until 5 years ago, I thought they were a waste of time. But one thing, Darren, it frees up your time to do other things, mate. They do it in a few days. The prices have come down because there's more competition. I say go with it. Absolutely brilliant. There's a couple I use who are really good. Turn it around quickly. So, yeah, thumbs up. What have we got now? A couple more have come in. Chris Misha's got in touch. He said he also hates architects and structural engineers. They're costing him a fortune. Well, that's about right, isn't it? What do you think, Dan? Are you a fan of them?
Oh, yeah, I agree with you, mate.
Yeah. Charging too much for very little. The other thing which makes me laugh as well, builders get asked for their ideas. You spend hours with a customer, don't get paid for it. Architects, 10 grand. So what I thought I'd do and finish this show, usually it's a song to wrap up your working day, or if it's been nice and sunny, a nice chilled out song to finish up with. Got a new idea. What I'm going to do each week is ask you to text in or call in with a song for someone you're working with. I've got to say, this one is brilliant because it's for all those sparks out there. I think everyone listening is going to be agreeing with me. If you're on your own in a big firm, this is for the sparks. It is, of course, Dire Straits and Money for Nothing, because they do absolutely nothing and get paid loads. This is Fix Radio.
The Toolbox Show on Fix Radio with Andy Stevens. Brought to you by the Federation of Master Builders.